Not sure if Chaplain Whedon was just praying for me when he was standing here. That probably would have been appropriate. We were college roommates. It was Walton from Walden and Whedon from Wheaton. We had quite a reputation on campus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we give you thanks on this day that you in your grace and love have chosen us to be your disciples, the resurrection people, people who rejoice because we have new life. And help us, Lord, to be those people who not only rejoice, but who share that life with others so that they too might know the joys of life in Jesus, in whose name we gather and pray. Amen. Well, it's a real interesting text that we have before us this morning from Acts chapter 1. By the way, my thanks to Chaplain Whedon for selecting this text about the gory death of Judas and the process of choosing his replacement. Find the gospel, he said. Just find the gospel in the text. You couldn't have skipped ahead to Pentecost? That would have been easy. Quite a choice he made for me here. And yet life is all about choices, isn't it? Thankfully, God's choice towards us is really a settled matter, isn't it? We continue to celebrate that even now. Isn't it comforting for us to know that God always has a plan for our lives, even when we can't comprehend it? God already knows. Imagine how it was for the disciples just after the ascension of Jesus to gather and remember what happened to Judas in those days before the resurrection. Maybe some had some sadness that Judas didn't get to experience the resurrection of Jesus. There was likely some hurt and confusion as to why Judas would turn on Jesus. I mean, they'd all traveled together. They were buddies. They were pals. Maybe there was even some hostility towards this traitor named Judas. And yet, despite it all, we can find great comfort and confidence that our risen Lord always has a plan. And that he clearly sees even when we can't comprehend it. And we can put our trust in him. Many likely felt as if Judas had received the just reward for what he had done. After all, he was the guy that ratted Jesus out. Scripture doesn't have a lot on the background of Judas Iscariot. It seems like he was the one who handled the money. He was the treasurer. But mostly, Judas is remembered by us as the betrayer of Jesus. However, before we simply saddle Judas with that moniker, let's really take a moment to look at all the disciples. Because in their own way, they all betrayed Jesus. They all fled on the night that Jesus was led off in captivity. They all betrayed him, and chief among them was Peter, who three times denied Jesus publicly. Perhaps this is why Peter doesn't speak so disparagingly against Judas in our text. Post-resurrection, Peter, with some astonishing insight and some renewed boldness, reminding them all of the events that had taken place in just a few weeks before, now says to those who are gathered, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number, and he shared in our ministry." You see, Peter recognized that Judas once was part of the team, that Judas had been handpicked by Jesus. Who knows why? Jesus does. One other thing, though, that I learned about Judas is he did have the capacity for remorse. He gave back the 30 silver coins that he had taken, and he gave them to the priest, and they used it to buy this potter's field, which would become known as Akeldama, or the field of blood. Apparently, Judas saw his sin, but he foolishly chose to deal with it in his own way, on his own terms, rather than seeking the forgiveness of Jesus. And we might say, he chose poorly. I think Peter understood the power of remembering these events as they gather together. It's almost as if he were saying, "There but for the grace of God go I." Had Jesus not restored Peter on the shore, he'd be in the same situation, wouldn't he? Apart from Jesus. The text gives us a wonderful glimpse of the process used to replace Judas. Only those with a deep commitment who had been with them while Jesus prepared them were to be considered. The candidate had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. And then the disciples prayed and they asked for wisdom. They cast lots and Matthias was chosen to replace Judas. It's a familiar post-Easter story, isn't it? But don't miss this simple thought. It's a thought about Judas. Judas was chosen, and he was chosen with a purpose. Judas is often vilified because he turned on Jesus, and yet by Jesus' own words, it had to be. In John 17:12, Jesus, in the midst of this high priestly prayer, says, "While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled." Jesus didn't make any mistake when he chose Judas, even knowing that Judas would literally spill his guts. Literally spill his guts. No, nothing. Sorry. Jesus didn't want Judas to betray him. Certainly not. But it was part of God's plan. God had a plan. All the teaching that Jesus offered his disciples, he also offered to Judas. All the prayers Jesus offered, all the meals that they shared together, all the miracles that Jesus did, Judas was included in it all. It wasn't like it was the disciples and Judas. They were a team. It was one group. And even as Jesus chose Peter and James and John and Andrew and all the others, he chose Judas. And each and every one of them were chosen with purpose. And the resurrected Jesus reminds each of us that even as he once chose Judas, the betrayer, as he chose each of those disciples who had let him down, we too are chosen with purpose. Jesus didn't make any mistake in choosing any one of us sitting here this morning. He chose each and every one of us in his grace. He knows all the places where you've betrayed him. You can't hide from it. He knows when you've taken his name in vain, especially if you're driving around St. Louis. He knows when you've broken more than your share of the commandments. He knows all the secret sins in your life. He knows that our faith is fragile, even among the strongest of us. And in spite of it all, he still chooses us. That is his grace in action. We're all helpless sinners, deserving nothing but the same kind of gruesome ending that Judas received. And yet, because of another field of blood, the blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness and new life. His blood has covered our sin, and it's cleansed us and given us new life. Peter knew firsthand how easy it was to betray Jesus, and he would later write, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Apart from Jesus, like Judas, even though we are chosen, if we are apart from Jesus, we have no hope for the future, because our hope rests in the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us gathered here this morning are chosen in Jesus. He has a purpose and plan for each and every one of us. You are chosen by grace through faith, and yet you're chosen with a purpose. You are redeemed with purpose. Live as his chosen one, confident in the one who has chosen you, for he has redeemed you. And the resurrection gives you new life, free from sin and death. Find your purpose in him. Let the world know that this Jesus, whom we proclaim, is alive forevermore. We are no longer captive to sin and death. So find your purpose in him, because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.